I'm going to share something on the second half of Philippians chapter 3. And it's the same title that we had last week, Observing Healthy Patterns in the Church Life. And we didn't really get through all of those verses, so I'd still like to emphasize some of those things. Well, I'll just go back to the title, Observing Healthy Patterns in the Church Life. And let me just say, like, church is so important in the Christian life. You know, there was a young man that was crossing Cedar, and I saw that he had a cross on his backpack. So I was like, hey, you're a Christian. So I just started talking to him, and I said, how did you become a Christian? And he said, well, he was following an influencer on, I think it was on TikTok. And then the influencer became a Christian. So I was like, wow, that's great. And so then he became a Christian. That influencer was, well, influential. And so now he's a Christian. And then I ask him, like, do you have a church family or church life? And he's like, no. And, okay. Maybe an influencer can get you to the point where you become a Christian. And I'm very happy about that. But you know what? That influencer cannot be your church. You know why? Because they never can give you feedback. You can only look at them. But they'll never be like, hey, how's your Bible reading going? They'll never be able to encourage you in your Christian life day to day. That is where the church life comes in. And so the healthiest way for a Christian to grow is you have a firm foundation in your faith inwardly, and then you're in a community of people who love the Lord. Okay, then this morning we're going to talk about, in that community, you have to look for healthy patterns, and then of like people that you would say like, Tom Becker, stand up. You would just say this, like, I kind of want to be like Tom. Who wants to be like Tom?
Amen.
Let's look at this. So it's a healthy pattern in church life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Tom. You can sit down. Anyway, and then you might have like older, people that are older have been through the storms, and you just see, oh, that person is following the Lord. Okay. And I want to be like that person. It's a healthy pattern. And that's like a big function of church. Now we're going to see today, Paul says this, there are healthy patterns and there are the other. Both in the New Testament church time, in Paul's time. And then, you know, because if you would ask, most unbelievers, like most people that are, I don't want to have anything to do with Christians. Why do most people not want to have anything to do with Christians? Because they look at Christians and they see hypocrites. And I would say, yeah, there are. And you would say, and then you might say like, huh, I wish we could go back to the New Testament church. Everything would be great. Well, we're going to read today. Actually, they had problems then. There's always problems. So you got to pick out the healthy ones and the not healthy ones. Follow the healthy ones. Don't be a not healthy one. Don't follow the unhealthy ones. And you would say, like, Rex, why are you so honest about the Christian? Well, look at the Christians right now. Not so impressive. And then the Christians at that time, if you look at them all together, maybe not so impressive, but there are some jewels. There are some that are following the Lord. So I'm going to give you Paul's example, and we'll kind of read through all of this so that we don't get stuck in the beginning part here. I don't get stuck, sorry. Let's read through. Paul says this about himself, and then he gives himself as a healthy pattern. Okay. And His healthy pattern is having this attitude. Okay, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. Paul says this, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So let me tell you, what's a healthy pattern? A healthy pattern, Tom Becker, if I'm Jesus, I see Tom Becker, and then I'm gonna lay hold of him for something. That is this verse. I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And then Tom's healthy pattern is this. You wanna lay hold, just try to lay hold of me. Like, I'm gonna lay hold of you. Okay, now you lay hold. Just grab your hand. Yeah, that's right. Okay, this is a lot of Christians. Don't do that. Oh. A lot of Christians is this. I got you. Christ got you. But then you don't lay hold of him. You're just doing your own thing. And then Jesus is like, I gotta just walk. I gotta follow him. But he never, I become his helper, but I never become his Lord. Okay, now lay hold of me. Then it's like he's invested. He's a part of that. Okay, thank you. That was Paul. Not that I have already obtained it. I haven't become perfect. I'm not done with my Christian life. No, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So then he just tells what kind of life he has. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do. One thing I do. And I'm going to just, okay, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. That's the one thing. You say, what's the one thing you do? Take a deep breath and say all the words at once. Devin, ask me, what one thing do I do? Forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. That's Paul's one thing. I press on. Press on means I advance. And then what do? When I'm advancing, I forget what lies behind and I reach forward to what lies ahead. And you see a picture of the aspiration of what kind of Christian life you want to have. You want to have people who forget what lies behind, reach forward to what lies ahead, press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So maybe, before you were a Christian, you're kind of a person who just kind of gets by in the world. Just, you want to get an A, B, C, or D. And you would ask, what's passing? D, diploma. Okay, let's go. Just that way. And some people are like that. But when Paul became a Christian, he's like this. Oh, I want to press on toward the goal for the prize. In other words, there's something so valuable I've seen. And when you touch the Lord Jesus, when you touch Christ in that way, when you touch knowing him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, the wonders of his death, you just begin to see like, oh, this is so worthwhile. And there's a prize of knowing Christ more. There's a goal of attaining to a fullness of Christ. And Paul's like, I want that. And so what does he do? Forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies before. And I'll just give 2 minutes on this. It's so important to forget things in life. Why is it important to forget things? Because those things can really prevent you from living a life of going forward on this day. You have to forget. You have to forget some painful experiences. You have to forget those things. You have to forget some failures. You cannot let your past shape your, not shape, ruin your present. Forget. I have to forget. Maybe you told somebody you're a Christian and then they made fun of you. And then you will say this, I'll never tell anybody I'm a Christian again. You know what you have to do? Forget that. There are wounds in people's, and there's wounds in everyone's past. There's just wounds. And Paul, and I would say those wounds shouldn't be there. That's not how God, you know, arranged things. But we live in a sinful world. We are sinful people. There's just there's a lot of brokenness, and you have wounds. And then you know what he says? I just forget what lies behind. Reach forward, and I press on to know the Lord today. And so I don't even like let the negative things from the past. And then sometimes there's positive things from the past. Like for instance, when somebody moves to a new city, then they want to find a new church. And then as soon as they come into a new church environment, they're like, you're not like my old place. You're not like my old place. And then it's like, you know what you have to do? You have to forget it. Just let it go. Why? Because there is a new Christ. And if you think, oh, I would like to experience Christ the way I did a long time ago. No. It's something fresh, something new. When you graduate from college, there's a new way to experience of Christ. Julian, have you had a new experience of Christ since your baby has come? Yeah. You have a baby? And you think like, wow, I used to experience Christ great. Now I have this baby. How can I experience Christ with this baby? I'm so tired all the time. And then you're like, oh, Lord, I can know you in a new way with this baby. And then you're holding your baby. Oh, I remember holding Anna. And Anna was, I remember you when you were, anyway. I remember holding her at, like, it was like maybe 1 a.m., 2 a.m., I was just wishing, I wish she would just go to sleep, holding her in her room, singing. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I would open up my heart and let the Savior set me free. I really was filled with Christ. Because my daughter would not sleep. And you would ask, before you had kids, were you ever filled with Christ because your daughter would not sleep? No, because I didn't have a daughter. But then when I had a daughter, then my daughter didn't sleep. And then I got to be filled with Christ. You know what that is? That's forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies before. And I press on towards the goal for the prize. And then you just see, that's your whole life. It's something new. It's something fresh. It's something marvelous about Christ that is able to be experienced by us every new phase of life. Okay. Paul says this, brethren, join in following my example. Join in following my example. And then you just look at a person like that, and Paul's like, you know, you should be like me. Now, not all of us can say that. And then the safest thing is like, Paul said it, amen. But then he says this, also, observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. And that's where like, I would say this is like a big, like like it's a large goal for the church to have. Can we be people who would join in to be those who walk according to the pattern you have in us? Like, oh, there would be like a church full of people who are doing that, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies before, pressing towards the goal. And you just see like, wow, it's a whole church full of this kind of person. You know, in the book of Revelation, there is in chapters 2 and 3, there are letters to churches. And if you read some of those letters, you'll just think like, wow, I'm so glad my church is not as bad as that one. If you read the letters, it's like, oh my goodness, those churches were bad. Some were good. One was really good. One was neutral. 5 were bad. You can do the percentages. But in every church, there's a call. He who overcomes, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's like, oh, can there be some in the church who overcome? And then the characteristic of those in the church who overcome, they follow this pattern. And they walk as Paul walked. I'm just pressing on. I'm pursuing the Lord. Christians can get wrapped up in all kinds of different things. They can get wrapped up in politics and social issues. They can get wrapped up in recycling. They can get wrapped up in all kinds of different things. Oh, by the way, I am for recycling. Yes, go ahead, do recycle. But you can get wrapped up in all kinds of different issues. But then, you know what a Christian should be wrapped up? I want to know Christ. And then you look at Paul, it's like he was just for Christ, pursuing Christ. Okay, and then here it says, for many walk, of whom I have often told you, and listen to this, and now I'll tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction? God is their appetite. God is not their savior. God is not Jesus. God is their appetite. Whose glory is in their shame. Who set their minds on earthly things. So you can see Paul saying like, find the right patterns. And if you would look at a Christian today and say, what kind of example is that person? Paul would say, I'm crying. I'm just crying. I just weep. I weep. Maybe Paul saw some believers at that time, and they really loved the Lord. And they were really growing in a good way. And then all of a sudden, they became enemies of the cross. And they replaced God, being the Lord Jesus Christ, with their appetite. And they set their minds no longer on heavenly things, but on earthly things. And you just realize, like, that person has deviated. And then Paul's response was not to get mad at them, say, you hypocrite. Just crying. Crying. Weeping. Even weeping. He's writing this, and maybe the tears are going on to the parchment. I can't believe. Enemies of the cross. I'll just say a little bit about that. Enemies of the cross, what does that mean? Well, it's this. If you look at the cross in the New Testament, there are three different like stages or aspects to the cross of Christ. Number one is that Christ died on the cross. That's just like, it's doctrinal, it's a teaching. It's like Christ died on the cross. He died on the cross for sins. Amen. When they were enemies of the cross, they were not denying that he died for sins. There's a second stage. It's like this. Our old self has been crucified with him. And then that there's Christ on the cross. That's one aspect. And then the other is like, when I became a Christian, my old self was crucified. And so some people, when they become Christians, they kind of feel sad, like in a sense sad, because a lot of their old life is gone. Even Blaze, you're going to be baptized today. It's a symbol, like you go down in the water and then you kind of go down in the water and then Blaze, the old Blaze stays there. New Blaze and Christ come up. And it's like a sadness. And then the third thing, the third phase or the third aspect of the cross is this. Those who are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its lusts. Third phase. And that is, you have to pick up the cross daily. And so then I'll touch something that's not popular, but it's just like, you know what? When you're exercising something of your flesh, something of a lustfulness, something of a sinfulness, and these people there were justifying that, Paul would say this, you have become enemies of the cross of Christ. It's like there's something in the Christian's life where, yes, I believe Jesus died on the cross. Yes, I believe that my old self has been crucified with him. But third thing, I take up my cross daily. And what does that mean? I do not allow the lust of the flesh, the passions of the flesh, to have their reign over my life. A brother who has been greatly influential in our history, Watchman Nee. And when he was young, he was praying for somebody, for his classmates to be saved in school. And nobody was getting saved. So he went to an older person. Why aren't they getting saved? And they just said this to him. Do you have something between you and God that you are not letting go? And then he realized, yeah, that is an experience of the cross. That's an enemy, or that is not an enemy of the cross. And then it's interesting. In his experience, when he dealt with those things, you know what happened? People began to get saved. So maybe in our life, you know, you just realize like, Lord, why aren't you moving so much in my environment? And then the Lord would be like, well, why don't you take care of that thing between you and me? Like, oh, yeah. And then what were the enemies? That is a person who is like forgetting what lies behind, stretching forward, reaching forward to what lies before, pressing on. It means you have a short list of those things that are between you and God. Oh, what a glorious thing when you're spending time in the Lord's presence. You're spending time with him. And then he says, Rex, what about that? And you're like, I don't know if I can give it up yet. And then you finally say, amen. Lord, I give that to you. And then you know what happens? You don't become one of these guys that Paul cries about. There's something that can go forward. Something that can be sparkly. And then Paul says, brethren, observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us, join in following my example. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to just conclude here. Because, you know, our citizenship is in heaven. It's in heaven. You know what these other guys did? They set their minds on earthly things. Those earthly things can be anything in the world that is like when Christians begin eating, not eating pork, or do eating regulations or keeping days. I'm very bothered. Why? That is so earthly. And then also sinful things, just like the earthly things. And he says, you know, we're not like that. Our citizenship is in heaven. There's something heavenly. And I'll give one example of that. You know, citizenship in heaven means like we don't really belong on the earth. And the best illustration of this in my experience was I was in Taiwan for 1 month. Rose and I, we were in Taiwan. For 1 month. Okay. And I like Chinese food, but it was just like, I don't know, I'm an American, you know. Sometimes I was just like, I just want a hamburger. I just want a hamburger. I just want to eat a big piece of meat without bones in it. And I just, okay. So I was kind of an alien. I realized my citizenship is not here, not in Taiwan. And then I saw Domino's Pizza. And I was like, oh, Domino's Pizza. I'm an American. It's Domino's Pizza. I want to get pizza. And I bit into the pizza, and it tasted like fish. And I was like, oh. Which I'm sure Domino's did research in Taiwan, what makes the pizza taste best. I'm sure. But when I was eating that, I just felt like, I don't belong here. My citizenship is in America. Okay. Our citizenship is in heaven. And then every time we see something on the earth, we should just feel like, I just don't belong here. Somebody says like, wow, I got this on sale for $19.99, and it's a lifetime extended warranty. Can you believe that? I'm so happy. And you're like, okay, but my citizenship is in the heavens. And then people feel like, oh, this is money, this is fame, this is something that you're like, and then you should be so happy. And you just feel like, no, I don't belong here. My citizenship is in heaven. And then, you know, Paul's like this. That is why you want to follow the good patterns. But if you look at the bad patterns that make Paul cry, you just realize, like, I don't want to follow them. Why? Because they're not according to the citizenship, which I genuinely experience, which I genuinely feel. God has made me heavenly. And you may say, like, I just became a Christian, so I feel better. And then God's like, but I made you so much more when you became a Christian. I changed your citizenship. And then you can have a response to the patterns that you see. And you should have patterns in the church where you see, oh, they're living a heavenly life here. And what is that? Forgetting what's behind, stretching forward to what is ahead. They're pressing on towards the goal. And you realize, like, that is a kind of life. And that responds to the heavenly nature I have. So I'll just give you a few things to press on towards. Press on to this. Have you read this whole thing? You know what you got to do? Press on. Devin, have you read the whole thing? Blaze, have you memorized Romans? Then we need to. Freddie, have you read the whole thing? Oh, press on. You gotta read the whole thing and then have that prayer. Jesus, before I die, I want to understand every verse in the Bible. That's not a bad prayer. It's much better than, Jesus, give me a Tesla and a beautiful wife. How about this? Jesus, I want to understand every verse in the Bible. Press on. Press on in the gospel. Press on to serve. Press on in prayer. Press on to know the Lord. Press on to be filled with him. Press on to know his victory. Press on to know his resurrection. Press on to know him in his sufferings. He just realized, like, this is what the church life should be. Full of patterns of those who are pressing on to know the Lord.